There are times when all of us feel we're just at our wits' end, the end of our rope, that the road ahead looks bleak. We wonder, is this what it's all been about? Have we made our mark? Are we done? Are we finished? Are we just resigned to waiting for the end to come? Why, no, I say. And I can speak with the authority of the masters and the founders of this church. That is absolutely not the way to continue to live. We don't have to put up with each little stupid, trivial trial and tribulation that life just seems to throw at us as if it's just one darn thing after another. We can and should, and I even did myself cry out this morning for divine inspiration. That's usually the only way to work past our troubles. I read recently from a Carmelite nun named Connie Fitzgerald. She describes this as spiritual impasse. You get to the point where no human power can relieve your suffering, and that's when the divine inspiration appears. We are charged with the eternal command as expressed in our reading from Judges. That eternal command is go in thy might and save Israel. That's the answer from the divine. And we do have that might. We do have that power. And how can we be so sure? Well, we've been told from time immemorial, we are God's perfect child. God created us in his image and his likeness. We are the perfect reflection of God. And God is always intervening into our consciousness. He's always poking in and checking in on us. That eternal cry from the Garden of Eden exists constantly in our consciousness. That cry is, Adam, where art thou? And when he finds us, we are usually naked and afraid. But he does not leave us there. He gives us a rebuke, a gentle reminder of who and what we really are, and sends us forth on our way with this instruction: love God and love one another. This is repeated so often in the Bible, in both the Hebrew scriptures and in the Christian scriptures. Our consciousness is forever dramatized. Our divine self breaks through the trouble of the day and says something like we heard from this morning from Judges: go in thy might, save Israel. This is our divine, essential healing nature. It is our healing power. And all we must do is recognize that we have it, that we are mighty, and we must act in accordance with that true nature. That scriptural passage, metaphorically and metaphysically, in that passage, we are Israel. We are the children of God. We have the might, according to our Creator, to save Israel or ourselves. Save from what? From the Midianites. The Midianites are, metaphorically and metaphysically speaking, the discordant conditions that constantly invade our sense of peace, our peaceful selves, our own sense of Israel. Now, the founders in our basic text talk about this healing power, and they describe it this way: we must have a continuous recognition and praise of the omnipresence of the Spirit of Good on the conscious level. This causes the subconscious realm to be gradually purified, and in this way, trained to accept the life pattern of the Christ. Healing then becomes inevitable. In other words, touch the Christ consciousness, or, as in the case with Gideon, having the Christ consciousness touch us, for it's one and the same, really. That is the miracle. After that miracle connection is realized, the results then become inevitable. Our founders further write, healing is that point when the erroneous conceptions are being dismissed and the God nature comes into his own consciousness and subconsciousness at the level of our soul, healing is a change of a belief in sickness to a consciousness of health. That change from belief in sickness to health is what is meant by the prophets when they say, "Go forth in thy might and save Israel." Saving Israel is the change in consciousness from a belief in sickness to health. How does this happen? It happens when we address the problem with our might, from our divine nature and standpoint. And this requires that we must act in conformance with who and what we really are. For if we try to put on the armor of another, as did David at first before he slung his slingshot at Goliath, right between his eyes, no less, it just doesn't work. Now, David resisted putting on the armor of another. It wasn't suited to him. It would not have allowed him for his free movement, nor would it have allowed him to use his most effective tool at the time, which was his slingshot. We can imagine that when David took off the armor and stood essentially naked and afraid in front of the giant, well, he was there acting in conformance with his true self. He was going in thy might. He was going in his might, his way. And at that time, he was charged with saving Israel from the Philistines. And what happened was beautiful. There he is standing against this fierce, huge giant warrior, clad in armament, maces, guards, shields, you name it. And there was David, practically a boy, still standing there with nothing other than a slingshot and a few rocks he picked up by the stream. And yet David was not really alone, was he? He brought with him the mightiest of warriors, the God of Israel, who stayed there with him in his consciousness the whole and entire time. Now, if David and Gideon can do this in the face of barbaric warfare, why are we of the belief that we are unable to solve the petty money and scarcity problems that threaten our peace and tranquility? The answer is because we do not listen and heed the lessons from our Bible. Those lessons could not be more clear. We have the power. We can go forth in our might and save ourselves from erroneous, discordant conditions. So the next time, and I hazard to say it won't be too long, an unexpected bill comes in the mail, an unexpected pink slip or layoff sheet comes from the employer, an unexpected traffic ticket or court appearance, why, we know we can stand firm in the statement of "Go forth in thy might, save Israel." We know that nothing bad will happen to us. We know that the symbols and symptoms of the world have no power over us, unless that power comes directly from God. And we know both our nature and the nature of God, that no harm to us could ever be contemplated by God. As Paul writes in the Corinthians, "Do you not know that your body is the shrine of the indwelling Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is God's gift to you?" Robert Winterhalter wrote about this passage, also echoing the lesson from today. Winterhalter writes, "Some people think of health as the absence of disease, but seldom consider the meaning of health unless they're trying to get rid of some bodily disturbance. This is not health. A mere absence of disease is not health. Getting rid of a problem is not harmony. Harmony is not the mere absence of discord." Winterhalter says a good divine science definition of health would be health as the imaging forth of divine perfection in mind and body, the perpetual sustaining activity of the Holy Spirit in every atom and cell. I would say that this is true not only of health, but of any issue that arises that could affect our peace of mind. This could be applied to a loss of a job, an eviction, a foreclosure, an apparent lack of money, hunger, any possible problem imaginable that could affect our sense of self-worth and self-being is under the grand umbrella name health. And we can have health, meaning all of the things that appear as discordant being removed if we stay close to and do God's will. Winterhalter concludes his essay on the passage of Corinthians by saying, God is calling you to health and healing that you may do better work and become more useful to your fellow men. Know yourself to be whole, perfect, and free. Know yourself to be whole, perfect, and free is merely a rewording of go in thy might, save Israel. We could take from these passages so far that we do have might, and it is with us all the time. We also take from these passages that our might can be used to change the circumstances we do not like. In Emmett Fox's book, Stake Your Claim, there is an essay about this. He begins that essay from the words of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Fox notes that always antecedent to the word is the concept of thought. Thought was with God. The thought was God. This means the beginning of the expression of all expressions is thought. A continual beginning with every thought that we think arises. We are what we are because of the thoughts that we habitually think. We are what we are from the beginning of expression or manifestation in our life. So if we choose to think God thoughts, we will express health, harmony, and prosperity in our lives. Fox concludes his essay on the power of the word with this statement that also captures the lesson from today. You too have the power of the word. Not only is your thought powerful in bringing health, healing to your body, but it will also produce harmonious and prosperous conditions in your life because your surroundings are the outpicturing of your thoughts. Again, this is a different expression, a more fulsome expression of the phrase, go in thy might, save Israel. Joel Goldstein writes this about Paul. He says, here is a God-conscious man, a man with God awareness, a man who knew that there was the Spirit dwelling in him. No wonder the miracles took place. They took place by the grace of God. Before his conversion, Paul, as Saul, was one of the most learned men in Hebrew scriptures. But his knowledge could not heal a headache until the day of his conversion when the scripture became alive in him and the light broke through and he becomes Paul, a missionary and follower of Christ and a teacher of Christ consciousness. And here we are 20 centuries later and he still lives in the minds of men. The deeds that Paul performed came from the moment of inspiration, a moment of illumination, the moment when the words of scripture were no longer a dead ritual to be read on the Sabbath and feast and festival days, but they were to be taken into the life every day, 7 days a week, lived, put into action. And it was Paul who really began doing this. It is the very bringing of the word of expression that provides the healing consciousness. We can do that today. You and I can do that right now. We know that the scripture is written as man's command, and it is a description of our whole universal consciousness. we can bring that consciousness into being simply by calling to mind the commands that we find in Scripture. And those commands are to recognize our spiritual might, to recognize the God within, and to act from that standpoint. And therefore, we can remove all discordant, erroneous conditions. We can allow ourselves to be restored to a sense of wholeness, peace, and happiness. Richard Rohr writes, "If universal kinship, solidarity, communion with God, with ourselves, and with the rest of the world is daily experienced and lived, we do then have a very grounded plan and runway for peacemaking, justice work, social reform, civil and human rights, but now from a very positive place where I and the Father are one." Frankly, we can indeed learn how to be better human beings to one another if we're doing it from the standpoint of our own divine nature. The meaning of today's lesson becomes crystal clear. When we go in thy might and save Israel and adopt that as our living mantra, nothing can harm us. No fear of disease, no fear of lack, no fear of limitation, no fear even of death itself then troubles our consciousness. Our consciousness is then free and clear. Free and clear to do what exactly? Free and clear to enjoy peace, to enjoy tranquility, to enjoy the fruits of the Garden of Eden, to get along with our fellow human beings. For we know that this is not a universe of scarcity. We know we are not in competition with each other. We know that our only job is to love God and to love each other. And we will then be happily and completely whole. Indeed, your might can change your life. Should we take a few moments now to rest and contemplate and make this lesson practical? Let's close our eyes and take in one or two cleansing breaths. Let them out slowly. And just relax. Relax and let's call to mind what the Bible teaches us about our divine nature and our divine power. These words are adapted from a poem from Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. Above all, trust God. Do not be impatient, but do not ignore your internal voice. The law of all progress requires that it is made by passing through stages of what are going to appear to be instability. Our ideas mature gradually. Let them grow. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Don't try to force them. Only God could say what this new spirit gradually forming within you will be. Let God's hand lead you. Accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete. Do this knowing that God is with you. And therefore, who could possibly be against you? How oft in grief hath not he brought thee relief? You are unfolding in God's time and God's plan. Listen for the command of the Spirit, and you will hear the words, "Go forth in thy might and save Israel." Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in all beings. Praise him for word and for by his. Praise him, all ye his truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto his name. Amen.
Go in peace. Go forth in your might and change your conditions as you wish. Have a blessed week.